everyone, to this very special edition of Inside Harvard Football. And we are Inside the Coop, presenter of our podcast each week for Inside Harvard Football. The Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. Actually, we're going to be talking about a tradition that predates 1882 in just a minute here, Steve. My first guest getting ready. And as we thank the Coop for the space and the use of the hall, as it were, with Adrian Gill, the chief of marketing, Abby Blake, and all the folks here. We also want to shout out to who has nourished us and supplied us here tonight. And, of course, it is none other than Joe's Pizza and none other than Tony from Joe's Pizza. So, Tony, thank you. And thank you to Joe's Pizza. And hopefully everybody, except the young man who's asleep here, is enjoying a slice. He may wake up and feel hungry. So get a slice of pepperoni ready for him, Tony. Be ready. Be ready for anything. It's Harvard Yale Week.
It's Harvard Yale Week.
Be ready for anything.
Anything.
My first guest, I was going to say, as I always say, David Letterman needs no introduction, but I'll introduce him anyway. Our first guest is a very proud member now of the Harvard coaching staff in his second season, and recently was inducted into the Harvard Hall of Fame. And pleasure to have with us, Steve. I remember you as Stephen Williams as a player.
I've grown up.
And Stephen, don't call me Steve now, Williams. HOF, Harvard Hall of Fame 2025, recently inducted. Welcome.
Great to have you here. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's far too kind.
Well,
it's glad to be here, though.
And I think it was a strategic selection by Coach Orrick, because nothing but good feelings and good karma. And you were the member of not one, but two Harvard championship teams as a player.
Yes, sir.
And now you're batting a perfect 2-for-2, coming back on the staff as a coach. So 6 years, four Ivy League championship teams.
I think that warrants like a lifetime contract or something. It's got to keep me employed. We're going to keep winning championships.
Is the head coach listening? Hopefully he is.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. I think he got his vote over there, Steve. But great to have you on. I remember having you at halftime back. You remembered it was the Howard game.
Howard game, 2023.
Okay, so it was back 2 years ago that we had you on at halftime. And you were at Campbell,
I believe,
at the time, down in North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
And now the opportunity to come back. Like I said, it's probably a pretty good starting point. What about the opportunity to come back? And I'm sure that you jumped at the opportunity to come back to Cambridge and be part of the Harvard staff.
We couldn't pack fast enough. You know, Campbell treated us well, but this is home. And my wife was all in, and the boys love it here. So it's been the perfect move and transition for the family as a whole. It's been awesome.
No, that's great to hear. And being a member of this staff with what has been to date and 1-0 each week is the mantra. That's worked out very well to the tune of 9 and 10 to come. And your responsibilities with the team, for those that might not be familiar, you coach the wideouts.
Yes, sir.
And you also coordinate the special teams.
Yes, sir.
You've got a lot on your plate from week to week.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. It's never a dull moment. The beauty of, you know, being special teams coordinators, you're involved with everybody. You get to coach everybody on the team, from the biggest lineman all the way to, you know, our favorite guy, the man they are, Kieran Core right now, to the kickers. And then the wide receiver group is it's a special group. You know, we lost some really talented players last season, all doing well in their new destinations right now. And there was, you know, there were question marks about the group. Not internally, we knew who we had, but it's been good to be able to show, you know, the public, the league at large, like the talent that we had in the room, and they're hardworking, like industrious young men that love Harvard football, and it shows with how they play from week to week. Makes my job really easy.
Well, I think the toughest part of your job, and I talk to Andy about this every week, is distribution, which is its involvement. Give us a little insight as to the process. You work with Coach Fine, as the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and Coach Orrick as the head coach, but once again, I guess that qualifies as a first world problem.
First world problem.
When you've got that talent to distribute,
that's
to keep everybody happy.
That's it. And one, it starts with the standard that Coach Orrick sets for the program. And our first word is sacrifice, right? And the main thing is the main thing. The main thing is winning. And everybody's happy when you win. And so the guys aren't concerned if they had 10 targets or they had one, as long as we won the game. Then you have Coach Fine, who, you know, by my estimation, and the numbers probably bear true, was the best offensive coordinator in the country. Someone who coached the receivers previous to me being here, so he knows these guys, as you know, familiarity with it, and was a, you know, a standout quarterback in his own right. So he loves throwing the ball around, which helps. And then, you know, my job is really to obviously let the guys know what to do, but to build a culture within the room that we're all united and we celebrate everybody's success, whether it's Dean Boyd, whether it's Brady Blackburn, whether it's Cam Henry, whether it's Ryan Tattersall, whoever it is that week, whoever's having that moment, you know, we're all about that guy. And so when you build that, you know, top down, nobody's upset. And then winning cures everything. So you're not going to have any issues at all at that point.
Absolutely. It's a happy group right now, as evidenced by the record right now, no doubt about it. And you listed some of the guys, and I mean, the diversity that group presents. I mean, they all have something that's a little special. And
yes.
The speed, and you've got guys with speed. You've got guys with exceptional size. Mm-hmm. You've got guys that are great route runners.
Yep.
And when all of it is added, when you mix in a quarterback that, as we like to say, may play on Sundays.
There's no may about that one.
And I'm not talking about a pickup league either.
No.
As in Sundays, as you can put the television on and watch.
That's it.
It's been a pretty good combination so far.
It is. And, you know, we have great leadership in the room. Dean Boyd, who I mentioned, and then Caden Kaufman, who we call the Cowboy, who, you know, numbers won't show that he's the standout from a statistical standpoint, but he's the driving force behind the room. He's the heart of the room, maybe the offense, one of the guys on the team. He's just a quiet leader who does everything the right way, somebody that you love to have in any program you're a part of. And he sets the tone. And then, like you said, with Jaden Craig throwing the football, right, you know, you just kind of almost got to be in the spot you're supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. And that's why I get the guys organized and getting there, getting the spot you're supposed to be in. And Jaden, you know, along with the guys in town they have, makes things happen. But, you know, with such a diverse room, as you said, I think it's a great way to put it. There's no necessarily way to game plan for this is what you're going to get.
Right.
You know, we have the ability to adapt to whoever we're going to play. And that's why some games, you know, it's Cam Henry, you know, the track star. Right. And sometimes it's Tattersall and Boyd and our big targets, you know, and then Brady has a mix of both. And so it gives us an advantage to play into our strengths or the weaknesses of our opponent and just give us the best shot at the game plan possible week in and week out.
And it's worked out really well. Everybody's had their moments.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, to contribute to the success, not surprisingly. One of the other observations with you being a Hall of Famer, very much on the other side of the ball.
That's it.
He's a Hall of Fame Harvard cornerback and the all-time interception leader with 16, the all-time single-season interception leader, your senior year with 8. A little bit of a twist. I guess if anybody's going to know how to coach the receivers, it's the guy that spent his career defending against the receivers from the other side. Kind of like a prosecutor and a defensive
right. I just tell them all the ways that I would have shut them down when I was playing.
Give them that insight.
Yeah, and so that they know how to potentially combat it. Now, it wouldn't work against me.
Right.
But.
Of course not.
Of course not. But.
Actually, disclaimer, we're talking about a Hall of Fame.
That's it, right?
Okay?
That's it.
Talking about a cover guy.
Definitely
cover guy. Shut down guy.
Shut down. Yes. Shut down. That's the best way to put it. That's right. No, but seriously, it does allow me to explain. Like, when we're talking about how we're running a route or a coverage or the read we're going through, why that's the case. And, you know, one of the many fantastic things about coaching these kids, you know, at Harvard is they're all supremely intelligent, right? And so if you give them the why, job's about done. Mm-hmm. From there, they can kind of take it and go, oh, that's what we're doing? Okay, bad, I got it. And it's done. So I like to look for that every week. We're doing this because. This is why we're doing it. You should do this because. You know, I'm telling you from the perspective I've seen and coaching and studying and how I played. And if you do this, you might have some success. And once they get a little taste of it, a bit of success, like, oh, okay, you know, coach might know what he's talking about. And then you go from there.
And the message is received.
Received.
And exactly, literally and figuratively received there. Pun intended.
I like what you did there.
There you go. That's a little bit of a twist. And once again, as David Letterman said, you know, they don't give these shows to chimpanzees.
No, I mean, not at all.
You know, exactly. Absolutely. You know, right at the top here. When you look at the other side of your job, this is talk about your versatility as a coach. Special teams is a huge part of the game. It's often a, I think, an underestimated part of the game by those that maybe don't realize how important. But success on special teams, you've had a lot of homework to do on that area. You knew you were going to have a new punter after last year. Let's just start with that in terms of the punting position.
Right. So we knew we lost an all-conference punter in Sebastian Tasco. And you know, we went out and hit the recruiting trail hard to get Brian Checkley, who was fantastic. Awesome kid, awesome talent. Unfortunately, in this game, you know, injuries occur. And so he's been down. The beauty of, again, Coach Ory, sacrifice, right? You got a kid like Dylan Fingrish, who came here to kick. And I come to him like, hey, bud, you're a punter now. And he doesn't bat an eye. Right. And everybody wants to go out and do what they love. And he loves putting the ball through the uprights. And that's not his job anymore. His job is maybe I go on the field. I'm not going to score any points. I got to win this field position battle. And it's not glamorous. But again, the standard is the standard. It's been set in the program. And so, you know, he's bought in. He's all in. And he's been, you know, a godsend for us. Now, it's a thankless job being a punter, being the holder. Right. You know, everybody talks about the kick you get. Oh, buddy's awake. Everybody talks about the kick you get, right, from Kieran, but nobody talks about the hold. Mm-hmm. And that's something that as a coordinator you see and you appreciate. And we make sure we love him up within the program and whatnot. And he's a favorite in the locker room for sure. And again, we hope and we've done a great job offensively. I think we only have 21 punts on the year.
It's amazing.
You know, and we're aggressive, you know, aggressive mindset. We have success on offense. And the more the punter's not on the field, the better your game goes. But he has risen to the occasion. He's exceeded all expectations, and he's been invaluable for us.
Yeah, remarkable. I interviewed him. He was at Crimson Profile back a couple of weeks ago. And it's the whole evolution of him being educated to the position. Not easy, but the way that he's adapted to it has been just remarkable.
Once again, smart kids. Yeah, right. You know, you kind of give them that and they can take it and run with it.
Exactly. And indeed he has. The operation, you mentioned you knew you had a new long snap situation and holder, very well-named. If you're going to have a holder, maybe his name should be Fingerish.
This way, right, makes sense, right?
It's all about it.
That's it. Puts it down. Got it held in the spot. Yeah, absolutely.
Snap spot and it's on its way.
That's
it. And the rest is history.
That's it.
As it was last Saturday. But you look at it, just take us through. As far as the situation last week, how close you felt. I mean, kickers in warmups, they give you an idea. You know, coach, they'll come to Andy or they'll come to you and say, all right, I think I'm good from – what was the
comment? Right, yard line. Right.
Say I'm good from 53. I hope he did.
Yeah. So, you know, I love Harvard Stadium. It means the world to me.
Except
– it is the worst place when it comes to wind. It gets in there and it just starts swirling and you never know. So, you know – again, specialist group, Finger. I want to mention Jack Bade.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I think I recruited him harder than any player in this class. We knew we needed a long snapper. And he, you know, he's handled every snap, long and short, this season. He's been tremendous. Never has a bad day, even keeled. And so a moment like last Saturday doesn't faze him. And I think that speaks to the group as a whole, the preparation. You know, so on a game day, they'll go out and – you know, get out early, the first group out, and they make sure they kick on both ends. And I tell everybody all the time, you know, I'm a special teams coordinator. I'm not a kicker, not a punter, not a snapper. Can't do it, right? I know the mechanics of it, but I can't physically do it. You know, there's something they do, and I trust them. So when they go in, and Kieran can be like, coach, I'm good from this yard line going that direction, this yard line in this direction. You know, I take their word for it. And I pass on to Coach A. He takes their word for it. And so when that situation arises, you know, we're going through the 2-minute operation and Coach said, hey, get to the 40. Offense, just get to the 40. If you do that, we'll have a shot. And that's the moment that every kicker lives for.
Yep.
Right. But it's not by happenstance that kick goes in. You know, it's all exciting and the jubilation is great and we love it, but those three are so prepared for the moment. You know, the whole deal is stay ready so you don't have to get ready. The only thing we're guaranteed as a specialist unit is one kickoff. That's it.
That's right.
That's all you're guaranteed.
That's right.
You don't know if you're going to punt, you know, extra points, field goals, right? So they, and everybody else is playing. You're getting your reps. You're going to flow of the game. They're just staying ready, getting snaps. You'll notice, right, whenever there's a TV timeout, if you're watching a game, you'll see Jack step on the field. He'll snap the finger. First time will be long. Then it'll be short. Make sure they're ready. Kieran's always in the net. And they didn't blink. You know, they didn't blink. But
business as usual.
Business as usual. Now, we work these situations every week, right? Do it. We happen to have a timeout. Coach had great clock management, so we were able to use that. But if we didn't, we had a situation we work fast field goal. We're just going to run on the field. Ball's going to get set, you know, we call it, get snapped and go. But the credit goes to those kids, right? And I'll be remiss if I didn't mention Coach Jackson and the O linemen and D linemen up front.
Protect, yeah.
It was the best protection we've had all season. That play, that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been good. We haven't, you know, fortunate, no issues with blocks, anything on the year. We're 12 or 14 on field goal. But that was the best they looked. Everybody in that moment, because we prepared for it, was ready. It was another play, you know, until the celebration. And you realize what just happened. And now you're like, oh, wow, I can't believe this just happened. But, exactly. You know, the offense all the way down. We wore 2-minute, you know, drives every week. You know, the field goal unit, you know, protection, snap, hold, kick. I'm a small piece of that entire puzzle, you know. I tell people, like, you know, special teams coordinator, everybody loves you in that moment. I tell young coaches all the time, man, you know, don't get in this role. It was good last Saturday, but if it goes a different direction, everybody's looking at you crazy, like, you know, it's your fault. But that's what I love. Like you said, we love the pressure. We love the moment. You know, we prepare for it. So then when you get there in that situation, you don't blink. You just operate. And that's what those kids did.
Prepare to succeed.
That's it.
Yep. In that situation. And success is what was translated at the most opportune moment, most important moment. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Harvard Yale and your own experience.
My own experience.
Your own experience, by the way, which I wouldn't bring it up unless it wasn't very positive during his career, as a matter of fact. But you got some great memories, I know, particularly great memories about two trips to New Haven that you made.
I love the Yale Bowl. I love
you heard it. Heard it here.
I love the Yale Bowl.
Hall of Famer, he loves the Yale. No, I was going to tell you what.
Nah, I love the Yale Bowl. You know, 2005, the triple overtime game, when kind of where I made my name for myself. You know, the pick six and kind of got the rally started to get us back in that game. We were talking about earlier before, you know, we got started, right? Like, there was no lights. Triple overtime. We got to the point, like, somebody better score because it's getting too dark. And we're not sure how to finish this game, you know?
Unbelievable.
And then 2007, right, where, you know, they're 9-0, we're 7-2, both undefeated in the league, and this is for the outright championship. And people who aren't familiar with the game, who aren't familiar with the Ivy League, don't understand that nothing matters outside of that in that moment. It's the biggest event in New England at the time. Snowball bar, you know, records don't matter at that point. Everything's on the table because they are they're your rival. Right, I tell you, I'll never own a bulldog. I don't buy a Navy for my kids. You know, the name Eli just rubs me the wrong way. All that, right? But what it is there's truly a mutual respect, despite all the back and forth, because, you know, even as a player, you recognize, like, those kids are us, and we're them.
Yep.
You know, stats, we've recruited those kids. They've recruited our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, along with the school, with kids on the other sideline. And we're going to battle for 60 minutes. But at the end, you know, we may not shake hands in that moment because it's Harvard Yale and people are celebrating, but we always all cross paths down the road, you know, and there's nothing but, I won't say love, but respect, true respect. But there's something about going in the Yale Bowl and winning there that you can't really top. You can't top that feeling. So I'm looking forward for that opportunity on Saturday.
And for this group to have that opportunity.
Generation. They haven't experienced anything like it, man. There's something special about it. And you know the stadium's going to be filled. And there's going to be more people outside the tailgate. It's going to be loud. And it's an early kick. There's no waking up and waiting. High noon. Yep. Short on High Noon. And there's nothing like it in sports. Everybody else can talk about the rivalries. That's great. But there's nothing like the game.
Nothing like the early one. A coach who shall remain nameless, but he has some New England roots, is all I'll say. And he's coaching the NFL for the Philadelphia Eagles in the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not going to tell you who he is. But he said, the earlier the better. Get up, touch your toes, and go smash somebody.
That's it. That's it.
Pretty much what it is.
You know, we have those night games, and, you know, that comes with the territories. You're playing well, and you're on telecast. But, yeah, waking up and go eat breakfast, and you're like, we still have 10 hours till we kick off. Yeah. That's no fun.
That's no fun.
Waking up and eating, you get on the bus because you're about to go warm up in a half hour to get run. That's the best. Yeah. That's the best.
Focus is there right when the
feet
touch the floor when you're out there.
Ready to go.
Exactly. Last question. This is personal, but I think it plays very well with what the tone of this interview has been. You don't have to disrobe and show us, but you do have a tattoo that is kind of, I always say that passion's the word that I live by. I'm passionate about what I do, and it's words to live by, and really is kind of a credo. But you have a tattoo that I think speaks to that. If you want to, I thought we'd close with that, to talk about your tattoo. Which
Faith Family Football or Die Empty?
Die Empty.
Die Empty. Which one are you talking about? Yeah, so Die Empty, I worked for Coach Caldwell, Jim Caldwell, the Detroit Lions, who is one of the most fantastic human beings I've met in this profession, an outstanding coach. And he's a very quiet and reserved man, but one of the most competitive human beings I've been around. And his whole deal is, as long as you keep a score, you're trying to win. And he's very, faithful man, big man of faith. And he talked about really the gifts you've been bestowed. And whatever you believe, that's great. But I'm a believer, and this isn't me. I've been blessed to have these gifts, to play football, to coach football, to connect with young men, to be back here in this space, to have been a player here and now be able to impart those things on our players. And you have so much given to you. And my grandmother used to tell me, to whom much is given, much is expected. And to give all of yourself in whatever you do. And Die Empty is something that I remind myself of daily, whether it's as a husband, whether it's as a father, whether it's as a coach, whether it's a colleague, that whatever I'm giving, whatever I have, I'm going to give all of it, And, I like to let my players know that this all ends. I'm not talking about your life in general. This whole football journey will end for everyone sooner rather than later. The last thing you want is to look back and say, I wish I could have, or I should have done this, or maybe if I hadn't, because we don't control the outcome, right? Especially in this sport. You're one of 11 on the field. You can do everything right, and it still may not go in your favor. But I've never met a man who played this game, who gave it his all, that couldn't look back fondly. Maybe not right in the moment, but couldn't look back fondly on what he did. And that, Die Empty touches on that in a multitude of ways, in a multitude of areas. But that's really what it is. I feel overwhelmed at times being in this place, being back here, being able to do my job as a coach of football, right? Like that's insane to think about.
You are.
Right. Yep.
Exactly.
At a place like this with these kids who I'm just like them. And why wouldn't I give my all to them? Why wouldn't I? If I'm going to be away from my family, helping steer the lives of other young men, why wouldn't I give my all? Sleep when you're buried, man. Might as well just leave it all out there. You're going to die empty. Have fun. And there's no other sport, I think, that really encapsulate that feeling than football. Because it takes sacrifice.
It takes integrity.
It takes toughness. It takes courage to go out there and play this game. We talked about we'd love to have every other conference a bye, but we don't. We've been playing since August. August 21st was the first day of camp. Mm-hmm. Nobody's felt great since then.
Yep.
Players and coaches alike, but especially the players, right? And it takes courage and heart to go do that. And that's what these boys embody. That spirit, Die Empty. Give everything you have, man. You've been blessed to be in this position. You might as well give it your all. Don't leave anything off.
And on that note, from August 21st to November 22nd, it's on to New Haven.
It's on to New Haven.
All right, Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Steve Williams, folks. Thank you to Steve Williams. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm ready to run through the wall right now.
All right.
Okay, Coach. Ready to bring up Coach Orrick now. Coach Williams, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. And we now go from the wide receiver and special teams to the head coach.
That's a tough act to follow.
Exactly. Inspiring words from Coach Williams. Great to have him, and great selection. You get to pick the guest. Thomas O'Brien, right?
Oh, yep. That was classic.
Thomas O'Brien. He even actually had a Stoneham guy and a Reading guy on the same page with each other. Somehow we survived that. Great to have Coach Williams coming up to join us. Coach Orrick, it is now 9 consecutive 1-0s. And there was one to go in the regular season, I might add. You're in exactly what Bobby and I were in position to be in position, I think, was the line from Season on the Brink. You have put yourselves there at this point, you and this 2025 Harvard team. And as I think I texted you back earlier in the week, in a special season, my experience, which goes back a couple of seasons at this point, and to show my boyish good looks will fool you, but I've been around for a while. There's always, it seems like in a special season, there's a game somewhere along the line that you're going to look back to in order for it to be a special season, that something very special has to happen. And I think Saturday qualified in terms of how that one came down to the end, and just talked about what the finish was. But that would certainly, that certainly makes the list in a game that, I mean, could you describe it as anything? But I always use the boxing analogies as a heavyweight fight with just two teams who were trading blows in the middle of the ring for 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. You know, credit to Penn. They played so hard in all three phases. And, you know, that the motivation to beat Harvard's there every week when you get into the Ivy League games. And they were doing a really good job of, you know, challenging us, especially with what they were doing on offense. But the reality is, like, we just had to get some stops, and we got enough stops to put ourselves in that position at the end to hit the game winner. So, you know, the sideline was great. The guys have so much poise. They're just chomping at the bit to get back out there if they're on the sideline, and they're ready to go. They're learning from what happened the previous drive. It's fun as a coach to just walk that sideline and see how focused those guys are every game.
Coming in, when we talked last week, we weren't live at the Coop. We're just on the phone as we are doing the show on the other weeks that we're not at the Coop. We haven't been at the Coop. But one of the first things that you said in your scouting report about Penn was how impressed you were with the quarterback and the fact that you said they had not one but two potential NFL receivers. How'd that work out?
Yeah, I mean,
pretty accurate scouting report.
Yeah, and their quarterback, I mean, he played his best game I've seen him play. Mm-hmm. You know, throwing and running. Credit to him; he had a great game.
You know, O'Brien and the two targets. I guess there's probably a reason why the NFL's taking a look at those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, all the NFL scouts that come through, you know, you always ask them where else you headed in the league, and Penn was always one of their stops, and for good reason. And we saw that on Saturday.
Indeed. Did you anticipate, I mean, knowing what their offensive weapons were, that could you envision, I mean, you couldn't quite envision kind of a surreal quality when you get two teams into the 40s like that and combining for, you know, not, give or take, what, 900 and something? I wrote it down, 900, over 900 yards of total offense. But is it something like, hey, sometimes you go in, you know, we may need more than we have normally needed to win this one or to be able to, was that kind of how you came in? I mean, you were that impressed with their offensive weaponry?
Yeah, I knew that there was a possibility of, you know, it being a shootout like that. You know, they just do a really good job on offense of challenging it with the formations and the empty and the quarterback run. Completely different than what Merrimack was doing, who did a lot of quarterback run. Mm-hmm. You know, their ability to, you know, run these RPO routes downfield, but it'd still be a run play. And it just causes a lot of, you know, challenging positions for people to be in on defense. It's unique compared to any other offense we really see throughout the year. So I knew they were going to be able to, they're going to be challenging the defense, and there's probably going to be some points scored. And but I was very confident in the offense and the game plan that Coach Fine and the staff put together. I knew with the ball in one's hands, we were going to be in good shape.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and obviously good teams, and the difference, I think, a lot of times, good team to a great team is we'll play it any way you want to play it. We can win a tight one. We can win a shootout. And I don't think you could see a greater example than what happened. If we need 45 today, we need 40. Whatever we need, we're going to get it.
Yeah, and that was really, you know, we've had adversity we've faced in different games throughout the year, but none to that level. You know, we were able to take control of every other one, and that one really went down to the wire, and we're more hardened and ready for what's in the future here this week because of that experience.
Every week we seem to talk about a special play in the passing game, and they often include Mr. Blackburn. I mean, this guy, I just can't help but think about, you know, how do you replace? I mean, Barkay was so special, pretty special right now, too. He's not doing too bad right now in the
ACC. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which I don't think is a surprise to anyone. But this guy is, and you kind of gave me the heads up on him that we're going to be fine at the wide. Was that a pun intended when I said we're going to be fine on offense? That we're going to be fine with the group of receivers. And the way that he stepped up into that role now, being the really kind of the lead horse there, if you will, he's just special in terms of what he's capable of athletically.
Yeah, and he, I think he's taken his game to even a different level as the years went on, as the years has gone on, because he's always fast. He's also always a great route runner. But now you're seeing like a different level of his ability to adjust to the ball in the air and come down with those, which maybe he just didn't get a lot of opportunities for those previously, but that's showing up a lot. And that's that those contested passes like that, like that's how you can really take your game to another level.
Absolutely. It just makes him almost impossible to cover in those situations. And once again, the passing game doesn't end with just the wide receiver group because of what you've got out of that tight end position. And it seems like we talk about that every week, the depth of the tight end position. You don't know who it's going to be from week to week in terms of who might step up. You get the big play from Osborne, huge play, huge chunk play from him, but it could have easily have been in another week. We're talking about Gilmartin. We're talking about somebody else. Riskit's had his moments too. So it's amazing how deep you are at just that one particular position.
Yeah. You know, they want to like all Ivy voting starting this week. They sent out an email to us, and I was literally, it's like,
who do I vote?
We might have three all Ivy tight ends on our roster. And I was like, well, I think they are. So I'm going to nominate them.
Absolutely. Why not?
And I, credit to Coach Fine and the offensive staff, because they find a way to make sure all those guys are on the field and the ball's ending up in their hands at different points, because they all deserve to have the ball in their hands at different points.
Indeed the case. And again, the array of running backs that you have. Now, last week, did you have an idea going in that it was going to be Bascone's day? I mean, potentially against that defense? Or did you, you know, once again, I know you're kind of feeling out process to see who the horse you're going to ride that particular day.
Yeah, it really is who has a hot hand, who's seen it the best, while also keeping the other ones involved enough in case they start to see it better.
Can't forget about whoever it happens
yeah,
to be.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Coach Flocky's done a really good job of keeping all of those guys on the same page, and kind of like what Coach Williams is talking about with the receivers. Like those guys, they get excited for each other, and they know it's a group effort.
And absolutely. And with Bascone was the guy, he happened to be the guy this week, and who's to say it might not be somebody else this week?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We'll see who's seen it best.
Absolutely. And when we have parents of an offensive lineman, we got to talk about
absolutely. Yes.
None of this is possible. Coach Williams talked about the protection on the field goal. I mean, the operation includes the protection. It's a snap, it's a spot, but it's the protection. But the job that the offensive line has done over the course of the year, I mean, I believe Yale's only given up seven. Both teams have given up only seven sacks all year.
Correct, yep. Yeah, both teams have given up seven sacks all year.
It should be a mystery why they're so much on the line.
Yeah, which, I mean, that puts you top 10 in the country. Both teams are top 10 in the country in sacks allowed. I think we're both 1-2 in rushing yards per game in the league. So, the O-line, I've been really happy with them. You know, we we had a very good offensive line last year, but I just had this feeling based off of what we had coming back and what was waiting in the wings again in the field that we were going to be able to take that group to another level, and that's what's happening. So it's been really fun to watch.
And Craig, just when you think, we've talked about this over the course of the year, where the ceiling is, and I don't know if we know where the ceiling is at this point. 390, 28-45, 390 on Saturday, and then putting that drive together. And it just seems like, I don't think there is any ceiling anymore, Andy. The sky's the limit as to what he might be able to do in the course of the game and in circumstances as they present.
Yeah, my favorite thing now is like during practice, or could it be in the game, when a receiver accidentally catches the ball with their body, the noise it makes when it hits their shoulder pads. I'm just really enjoying that when it happens right now.
I didn't get a chance to run with him last year. Remember, I ran with Charles.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Yeah, I probably made a good decision.
Yeah, that's right. Being a catcher with your hands, you might be in a little bit of pain there.
I was going to say that I was running, I guess it was close to a 4.440. Yeah, I don't know, just off the mark. But yeah, he's really, with what he's done has been pretty remarkable. And in a game like that, once again, when it gets to the point of the shootout at that level, it really was a couple of stops that Penn did not make, and you consider what happened on the last drive. But in the midst of that, there was a couple of defensive stands that you can articulate that were really significant, that really did swing the game, and you made them.
Yeah, I mean, every stop we get in a drive was like of the most importance in that game. The defense kept battling, and they made Penn fight for all those yards. And obviously there's things that the entire defensive staff and defensive players, like, they're not happy about how it went. They're prideful and they want to play better. It's good just because it's kind of motivated them even more this week. And they're having a great week of practice, but, I think Ty Bartram had like 14 tackles or something like that. It was all over the field. And Sean Lyons continued to play at a high level. So, excited. We'll see what those guys do this week versus, a team that is very different than what we saw this past week. So,
oh yeah, I mean, we'll get to that just a moment there. No question. I'm just, the numbers staggering. The combined, I had to get to the number there. 962, almost 1,000 yards of total offense in the game, and then the other one that's just, it almost looks like a misprint, is 63 first downs in the game. Combined.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
I don't think anybody has. Matter of fact, I mean, being a Giants fan for as long as I've been, I mean, like the 63, that's a season's worth for the Giants. First downs, the state of the Giants right now. And of course, your ability to be aggressive and in terms of not going against your nature. And I think that everybody that's observed your teams and the way that you're a coach that's very assertive, you're not passive. And it came through, and a big part of it was on fourth down. There's a couple of big fourth down conversions and a couple of stops on the other side, third down and fourth down, that made the difference in the game with what your defense did to get a couple of key stops.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was disappointed we didn't get that fourth down before halftime that they turned into points.
And then,
But we've been so good at, end of half, end of game, as far as like our execution. So to go down the field again and score and get the touchdown on the fourth down there, that was huge because that just kind of, put us back in a good spot with, the deficit going at halftime. And, ultimately we won that middle eight again. It would have been nice to win the middle eight with even another score afterwards, but we got it before halftime. So, the last one was if we would have been a little closer that last drive, I was going to go for that one too. To end the game as opposed to give them the ball back with the punt. I'm trusting the analytics, and they do a lot more research into, what the distance is that swings it in your favor to go for it. I trusted them on that, and ultimately it ended up working out for us for sure. But it would have been nice to be able to get that first down and then taking a knee for the win as opposed to all the stress that came with that drive by them and then the drive by us and the field goal.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely the case. And when you think about, as it turned out, the significance of the drive at the end of the first half, 49 seconds was a pretty good dress rehearsal for 22 seconds, as it turned out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Jaden's done so well in those drives the entire season. You know, as Coach Williams, you know, alluded to, we're practicing those all the time. Because they're just so important, especially the end of the first half and how it can swing the score so much in your favor if you are executing at a high level in those situations.
I'll give you an unsung hero in the game. Maybe come up Riley Jenny with a couple of, just to talk about that, a couple of huge plays that he made in the game.
Oh, yeah. And he's been doing such a good job the entire year. You know, in his role, he's embraced his role. You know, he wasn't with us last year, came back. Actually, I was just telling Spencer Jones' parents. He has a dog named Goose, and his dog Goose, he has his travel crate, and he comes into the office before practice. So he's like almost like a team dog. So I always know.
Not when, a bulldog.
No. And I don't know what type of dog it is. I'll have to ask Riley now, but I know when Riley's there because I hear Goose when he walks into the office, and then he's pulling Riley into my office, and then he wants me to rub his belly when he gets there. But yeah, Riley's been doing great. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's one of those guys who's hit over 20 miles an hour multiple times this year in games. Really happy to have him back.
Absolutely. You know, those little things that become big things, particularly in a game that plays out such as that game, the game did. And we got the special, great time to have the special teams coach on as far as the winning field goal. But I can remember the first time that I heard about Karen Corr, and you told me, I think at the time you weren't living in Winchester, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of all appropriate. Your adopted hometown. With
yes, exactly.
Karen Corr, you know, the fact that he's a sachem now too. He lives in Winchester, and the kicker being from Winchester. But one of the first things that you mentioned was, hey, we got a kid. He's got a really strong leg. We brought into the program. He's got the Mass High School record for longest field goal. And well, those things all resonate when you get to a situation as you were. Well, okay, this is why I came to Harvard for that. Maybe didn't think it would be from 53 yards out, but the confidence level, your confidence level as he was lining up, were you feeling pretty good?
Yeah, because we've literally put him in that situation, you know, double digits amount of times since we started training camp, where we did the end of the game 2 minute situation, field goal wins, gave the yard line to the offense. They knew where they needed to get to. We got there. We barely didn't get there. We were close enough to put him out there, and he hit the field goal. So, you know, the fact he hasn't had those opportunities necessarily in games up to this point is just because the offense has done well, and we've been in situations where it's fourth down, and, you know, analytics is saying you should go for this, and we went for it, and we got him, and we continued drives, and we got touchdowns. It's not because we don't have confidence in his ability to hit those. He's got an unbelievable leg, and you see that in touchbacks. I mean, if you go look at the Ivy League stats.
Unbelievable.
The amount of touchbacks he has compared, he might be triple the next closest guy in the Ivy League as far as touchbacks goes. And, you know, he's putting that thing out back of the end zone most of the time.
Yeah, it's just a question of how far. I mean, his average 55.7 on the kick. I mean, it's either going through the end, halfway through, all the way through. It's just a question of how deep it's going to be.
Yes, yeah. And that's and as Coach Williams said, that's in Harvard Stadium half the time the swirling wind.
Exactly. And just essentially, takes the return game away from the opponent.
Yes, yes.
Just removes that from the equation.
Yeah, it helps me sleep better at night, too, because I know that he can kind of control that, and we don't have to necessarily cover as many. Yep.
Absolutely. You're not going to be tested in that area. The one thing that I'm sure you probably talked about, I'm just going to guess that you spoke about, was uncharacteristic in the performance on Saturday was the penalties. And that's something, I mean, you've been among the leaders in the nation for 2 years, and when you looked at what happened on the penalty situation, that was really an aberration. I'm sure you probably brought that up to the team this week.
Yeah. I mean, the frustrating ones were the offsides, because that's just a lack of focus, lack of discipline. You know, the ones that happened within the play, the defensive pass interference, and those, like, those are going to come about, especially when you're playing the type of receivers that we were playing, and they're physical receivers, and it really comes down to the official's decision on what contact they're actually going to allow. Right. And if that's not consistent on the field, then it's very hard for those DBs to not have some of those calls pop up. But in the first couple drives, it was are they actually moving the ball this well, or are we just allowing them to because we're getting these, you know, these stupid penalties that are extending the drives a little bit? So like, you know, I probably can't answer that right now, because in the second half we had a number of stops in the second half that ultimately allowed us to win that game. In the first half, we were kind of extended for them with some of those penalties.
Right, and of course, in that situation, all you can ask for is a consistency, is a level from the officials. If this is how we're playing, it's got to be the same both ways.
Correct.
You know.
Correct. Yep.
In terms of contact, I mean, there's always so
effective
as far as the contact and what might be allowed with hand fighting and any kind of contact between the receiver and the DB.
Yeah, for sure. And there wasn't any frustration for me on any of those with either the officials or our DBs. Because, like, as I told, Austin Guillory, I was like, just you keep playing how you play.
This is how you play.
Like, don't change what you're doing, because all of a sudden bad things are going to happen the other way for against us if you do that. So, you can't mid-game try to get them to change their style, especially this far in the season where they've been really good and haven't been called for many of those.
No question. And you've really been welcomed into the Harvard-Penn rivalry in a big way.
Yeah.
A couple of years. I always say, because I get back to my SATs, I just love the word penultimate. And the fact that the Penn game is the penultimate game for Harvard every year, it is. But crazy things have happened. And when you consider what happened last year with Dylan Fingerschat with the winning field goal, and then the preceding you was, of course, the legendary Crimson Special.
Yes, yes.
That was run, and it's something about that game and the competitive level of that game. And, of course, you know, being a guy that spent time at Princeton-Penn,
you
have a big rivalry on that side, too.
Yeah, I mean, the history of, you know, Harvard and Penn, you know, with all the championships that have been won over the last 30 years, has led to a lot of really, really big games. And regardless of what it's been the last couple of years, success for either team, the game is still has that level of, I don't know what word you would use. You know, it's been really close games and both teams battle. So it's been fun to be a part of the last 2 years of those, for sure.
Absolutely, been a lot. Obviously, a lot on the line in those games, and it has been for time eternal. It's Harvard going through Penn going through Harvard to get to what we have this week, and what we have this week is it's unprecedented. There's no other way to describe it in terms of what's on the line, in terms of an Ivy League championship, and in for all of the years of this rivalry, it'd be the 141st meeting. Was always this is the last game. Game on Saturday, banquet on Monday, great cut of meat on Monday too, which I really
enjoyed. It's actually on Sunday now.
Well, always. It was always Monday.
Yeah.
And now we're in a whole different world.
A whole different world, yep.
The season was going to end, and what the banquet experience was going to be like. Everything was dictated by what happened Saturday, and then less than 48 hours, you pass the torch, you announce the captain. We are in uncharted waters here, my friend.
Yes, we are.
And we'll be at Fenway Park on Sunday.
That's true. Yes.
Speaking of uncharted waters for the banquet.
Yep. It's just a one-off. We'll be back at the Harvard Club. when you last second they decide we're going to the playoffs, and we got to make sure we're ready to be ready for a playoff game. If we're in it, you know, we can't be, as coaches, you can't be, you know, taking a couple hours on a Monday. That's when you're in the middle of your game plan. So we had to adjust a little bit. Yeah.
That's the move. Well, it's all about audibles.
Exactly.
Ask Jaden, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
you had to call an audible on this one for this week. But the Ivy League championship on the line, the automatic bid, I mean, the likelihood of the fact that Harvard is going to be part of this, and it is a 2014 field, which I believe expanded from last year, correct? Was it 24?
It was 24, yeah. It was 24, yep.
And the likelihood of having a playoff game to come, and the question of when that will come, will be determined on Saturday. The preparation this week, I mean, it's been something that's been discussed all the way back to August, that this opportunity, you can earn your way to this opportunity. The opportunity now exists, but now that it's in front of you as a team, your focus this week, the team's focus this week, just your observations and how you feel about it.
Yeah, my whole message has been, why would you treat this any differently than how you treated the last 9 weeks? Mm-hmm. We Stetson week, it was about setting a standard for how we prepare for our opponent so that we can hold ourselves to that for the rest of the season. And the guys, they've done a great job. If anything, I told them this would be the week that, you know, all those extracurriculars outside of your academics and your football, let's just put those on hold. Let's find another 45 minutes to watch a little more tape. Mm-hmm. Not because it's Harvard Yale, because we know what's at stake with this one. And if you can find a way to get an advantage or get an edge on your opponent, why wouldn't you at this point, knowing what's at stake? So it's been really focused practices, a lot of great energy out there. We'll be ready when we get to Saturday.
Absolutely. And truth be told also, and I've had the greatest mentor from the time that I wrote the presumptuously titled The Only Game That Matters, which I co-authored 20 years ago, the great mentor John Powers of the Boston Globe. There's nobody more Harvard than John and then steeped in the history. But I can remember when I was working on the book and he was helping me out, and he said, the Princeton people and the Yale people, they really hate each other.
Yeah, you know what?
Maybe even more than Harvard and Yale. So
I talked with him Monday, and he was telling me about that. Yes. So
there you go.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
You took the same course that I could.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I definitely felt that in my time. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's very much familiar with that. There's no history lost on John. And for you, a seamless transition.
Yeah.
That's right.
Didn't like him before, still don't like him, you know? This guy carries right over.
Exactly. It's all about hating the Bulldog. As far as getting ready, just to wind down, we'll take some questions here. What about preparing for this Yale team? And you said the issues that they present are significantly different than the issues that you faced Saturday with that Benty.
Yeah, I mean, if you just go to the Ivy League stats, it's like Harvard and Yale, one or two in every meaningful offense and defensive category. Special teams wise, they are definitely the best special teams we will have seen. You know, different than a lot of teams, like they're playing their best players on special teams. So, you know, Abu Kamara, who I think is outstanding player, you'll see him on all the special teams out there. And they executed at a very high level on special teams. So, you know, we've been putting the time in with that this week to make sure that we are able to execute at a high level. To make sure that's a win for us on Saturday. You know, the running back, Pitzenberger, is as good as we'll have seen.
Special.
You know, I've been telling people, oh, yeah, we got four running backs in our room that could start it anywhere in the league. Maybe not anywhere, because Pitzenberger, he's a special player.
Oh, yeah.
He's a special player. It's going to be really important that we tackle well with him. And, you know, we had some issues with that last year.
Yeah.
So
broke free at times.
Yeah, but we made that a big point in the offseason. We got better at tackling, and that's shown up throughout the season. So I feel good about how the guys have put in work on that leading up to this point, and it'll help us be ready for this week. And then defensively, they're just really disruptive.
Hmm.
It's their style of defense. It's the talent they have on defense. I mean, they have – I think I just heard this. They have – they're averaging 4 sacks a game in Ivy League play. And you know, Ezekiel Larry, the defensive end, he's as good as I've seen in this league, rushing the passer. But I mean, you just go right down the list, you know, that Coach Reno's done such a good job recruiting there for so many years that it's one of those places where they're going to graduate guys. Nice. And then you're going to see a new face. You're going to be like, where the heck did this guy come from?
Reload.
Yeah. Because they're
rebuilt.
It's just as talented. So it's definitely the most talented team we will have seen. And, you know, I'm excited to get out there. I mean, these are the games you want to play in. These are the games you want to coach in. And I know the type of work our guys put in. So, you know, I'm going out there with a lot of confidence because I've seen what these guys have done since January to get to this point. And I'm excited to see them do it against the best competition we have faced.
Indeed the case. And final point is, do you think, I remember you talked to Coach Murphy about this, almost better that this is on the road with less distractions and it becomes a business trip to New Haven?
Yeah, I love away games. I love Harvard Stadium.
Yeah.
I love, even when I was playing at Princeton, coached at Princeton, Harvard Stadium was my favorite stadium to be at. But just how away trips go, it just gives you an advantage. You get the nice hotel beds for them to sleep in. They don't have the neighbor who's maybe staying up late, making too much noise. They get these nice meals in the hotel. The coaches can be around them, maybe get some last minute reminders to them. So that environment to me is the best. And like, you know, we have it set up now where these guys, they eat dinner and then they have like 2 hours to just chill and hang out. So like you see guys bonding and getting to know each other better. And like, I think we're a stronger team just in general because those guys get to spend time together when we go on these away games.
I had a feeling that would be the case, but you'd prefer it for a game of this magnitude it coming in the end of the season, the game. As
well. Yeah, did you know that they you know, whoever's hosting this, the team that's, you know, the school that's coming to play there, they bring in like 1,000, 2,000 students to be on campus and party the night before the game.
Yeah, disrupted.
Yeah, I found this out like middle of the week last year, and I was like, wait, what? What's going on?
Stop that bus from New Haven.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn that bus around. Turn the train around. Turn Amtrak around.
Yeah, so, you know, it's nice that we don't have to worry about that.
Don't worry about that influx around the square. Some of my sponsors might disagree that dispense alcoholic beverages are...
Yeah.
Not Tony. No, it's straight pizza or a Joe, so don't have to worry about that. But there are others. And if there's a cosmic karmic point, Coach... I just love the history, the tradition, and when you can cite things that have happened maybe in the last century or maybe even the century before, considering it started in 1874. But Robert Fisher, you've now won as many games in two seasons as Robert Fisher, who had the 1919 and 1920 teams. And he's the last guy, Robert Fisher, who was some... Amazingly, he's unavailable. He would have come tonight, but I think he's unavailable. But the last time that Harvard played... in the postseason, of course, was the 1920 Rose Bowl. Robert Fisher was the coach.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Beat Oregon 7-6.
Wow.
So there's a little bit of a comic. His second season, your second season, just saying.
Yep, I hear you.
Absolutely, just saying. But great to have you once again, and great to be here at the Coop. And I suspect they're, and best of luck on another 1-0 this week.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes.